Welcome to Cuckoo Bananas. That's Kate Ganey over there.
And that guy is Mike Bongiorno.
How are you today?
I'm actually really good today.
Good.
How are you?
I'm mixed. It's a mixed bag.
Mm.
I took off work yesterday because I needed a mental health day.
Yeah.
But my job involves a lot of people writing me emails and calling me and asking me for things and asking me to do things for them.
Mm.
So I woke up very anxious this morning because I knew being off yesterday would lead to my phone blowing up the second I turned it on.
Naturally, right.
And that happened, and I'm still getting used to not freaking out about it.
That's fair.
Or maybe I shouldn't say I'm still getting used to it. I'm trying to learn the skills to be more cool about it and not weird about it.
Yeah, it's work. Just like keep it in its place.
Yeah.
I know that's easier said than done, and I have a very different job.
Well, my boss said to me not that long ago, like, it keeps coming. Like, you can have moments where you're caught up and go ahead and enjoy those moments. But don't feel like you're falling behind, because every day there's going to be a new thing. It's just going to keep going and going and going.
There's not going to be like, oh, and now I'm all caught up.
Yeah, and now there's nothing to do. Like, no, there's so, yeah.
There's always going to be something.
Yeah. How's school? Are you in school right now?
Well, I start a new term tomorrow. I ended up failing my last term completely. I've been going through some stuff. And there's stuff I'll talk about, and there's stuff I won't. But one of the things...
Can you talk about why you can't talk about things?
Because they're things that don't just affect me. If they were just, like my stories to share, like, I'm kind of an open book. I don't mind sharing really everything. But when it affects other people and, you know... They mm-hmm. might not want to have, you know, their business be known.
Yeah.
One of the big things that I'm dealing with right now is just another one of those fun aspects of this dystopian hellscape in which we live. So something happened with my health insurance where it changed from one plan to another, and apparently I was supposed to have received a letter about this, which maybe I did and missed, but I don't recall receiving. And because of this and me not having this information and not really knowing how I can get this information, I have been without medication for maybe like 3 or 4 weeks now.
Okay.
So I kind of feel like I'm evening out a little bit now.
But that's a big drop off.
Sure is, and it just.
And you're not supposed to do that. I mean, if you can help it, you're not supposed to just cold turkey on,
right?
Meds that you need. And remind us, you were on meds for bipolar.
So the medication that I was taking was to treat anxiety and depression separately. My doctors had tried me on Abilify, which was specifically for bipolar. You know, that's what they prescribed as like a response to that diagnosis. And it was absolutely awful for me. There was no positive effects at all. It was just all negative. So I have been taking the generics of Zoloft and Wellbutrin for a couple years now. Mm-hmm. And the medication that I haven't been able to get is my Zoloft. So the pharmacist gave me like a couple of days worth or whatever so that I could figure out what was going on with the insurance, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But, you know, these systems are not easy to navigate. I don't think they're easy to navigate for anyone. But I think they are specifically very difficult to navigate when you are neurodivergent and unmedicated.
Yeah.
And it's really difficult. And I think people who are neurotypical hear things like that and they're like, sit down at your computer, type in whatever you need, find it, make a phone call, and figure out what you got to figure out. But it is not that simple for
No, it's
somebody
not.
who is neurodivergent. It's just not.
It's not that simple for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a system that is complicated on purpose to
Yes.
try to exclude people.
Yes.
And first of all, any phone call can make me nervous. And to
Same.
get on a phone call and try to fight with somebody, like I
Yeah.
don't, I can't do it.
I'm also doubly feeling the systems that are not designed to serve us, but rather to like confuse and trap us. I'm feeling that extra hard today on tax day
Yeah.
because that's a whole other system that's just like, we're not going to tell you how to do this.
Right.
You have to go to somebody else in order to do this or use a program to do this or whatever and trust that it's being done properly. And if it's not, we're going to seize your property or arrest
Right.
you or like, what? What?
It is crazy to think about. We have to pay taxes, but paying taxes is in no way simple. Or intuitive.
It's not. It makes no sense. And I know I've seen memes addressing it and stuff like that and whatever. It seems to be something that like our generation or whatever like agrees upon. Why do we not have a taxes class in high school that
Right.
teaches you how to prepare your income taxes?
I mean, this isn't a good answer. Because it's part of the problem. But one answer would be that they change every year.
Right.
Like these accountants have to stay up on every year, there's new laws and new things and new loopholes. So it would, by the time you grow, the class would have to be constantly altering.
Right. You would have to do like continuing education
Right.
forever. Yeah, it's or even just like a basic understanding of why we pay what we pay, where it goes, I mean, whatever. Like
It
some
goes to
sort
the
of,
military. That's where it goes to.
which is terrible, but I digress. Excuse me. I find it so frustrating that we spend so much time learning dates and facts and things like that that really aren't going to serve us in any way. And we're not taught a lot of life skills that we could really use. And I didn't realize a lot of that until I was 21 and my mother died suddenly. And it was like, boom, grow up. And I was like, I have no clue what I'm doing. And still, almost every day as a now 33-year-old, I'm faced with something that I'm like, I never was prepared for this thing.
Right.
And now I just have to figure it out. And I'm already all fucked up. I've
God.
been through a whole bunch of shit. My brain is like Swiss cheese. I'm already all fucked up. And now I gotta figure out how to do all of this.
Yeah.
So that's part of the roller coaster has been being unmedicated. And I am very grateful that I have the tools that I do and the support that I do and the self-awareness that I do because I have been able to navigate it.
Have you gotten it figured out? Have you straightened out the situation?
So today I actually received a letter from my, I guess, previous insurance company that gives me some information that I could actually work with and get some answers. Because before that, pretty much the information I had was, oh, plan A has now been changed to plan B. And I said, oh, okay, so how do I get like my plan B insurance card or whatever? And they're like, I don't know, you gotta reach out to the people there.
So wait, it's a
Well,
different, is it a different plan on the same like company or is it a whole different company?
I think it's I first off, I don't know, which is just silly.
Do you
But
where
I
do you get it through? Where do you get it through?
get it through the New York State of Health Marketplace
Oh, okay.
whole thing. And it was through Fidelis.
Okay.
Now I think it's no longer through Fidelis. And I have like no way of figuring anything out. So today I got a letter that kind of gives me a little bit of something I could work with. But before that, my husband went to pick up my prescription and he was told that insurance is not that insurance anymore. It's something different. And then I called and asked, hey, can I get like a couple of days worth of my medication so that I can figure this out and not just abruptly stop? And they did that.
Okay, that's something.
Yeah, but it wasn't enough. Like he only
Of
gave
course.
me a day's worth or something like that. And now I'm here still trying to figure out what's going on. And like it's just difficult. And I know that there's gotta be a simpler way to do all these things. And it's hard to be a person with all these systems that are set up to not serve people or not serve humanity.
Yeah. I think like comparing different generations, I think that in some ways what like millennials and younger have to deal with is much more complicated than older people. But in some ways I think it is the same. I think they had the same problems with their taxes and their medication. Let's just say they did. But I think one of the main problems is when they had a safety net, and when you don't have a safety net, when you feel like everything is hanging on a thread and that thread can snap and your whole life can crumble, navigating different things becomes very stressful. Like let's just say you were rich, right? This and you had the exact same situation going on with your health care, it would be much less of a big deal.
It would, because if in this theoretical world where I'm rich, I can just buy my medication in the meantime.
Right.
I could just buy a bottle of that medication and shit, I'm out a little bit of money for a little while, which doesn't even suck because I'm rich. And then I can figure it out and I'm still medicated and I still have, all my tools working to the best of their ability and whatever else. But that is unfortunately not the reality for most people.
Right. If you're scraping by, a little bump in the road can be very disruptive.
Yeah. I remember reading, and it will always stick with me because it's 100% true in my case and for most people I know. At any given moment, you are so much closer to homelessness than you ever are to like being a millionaire.
Oh my God. Wow. Who
I'm
lives
much
in
closer to
cash?
being homeless than I am to being a millionaire.
Wow. Who that's such a profound thing.
Yeah.
That's blowing my mind, actually. It's so true. It's so true.
I think the context that I saw it in was, it was in reference to like all these people who sympathize with billionaires and billion-dollar companies and whatever, rather than sympathizing with the homeless. But like, you are much closer to being the person on the street than you are to being the person in the ivory tower. Like,
I mean, I always think about what people say, how many paychecks could you skip before your entire network crumbles?
yeah.
And you're 100% fucked and nobody cares. Wow, it's so true.
Scary reality.
It's fucked up.
Yeah. I mean, so all that said, today's been a great day.
Great.
Today I woke up with a lot of energy, listened to some good music, got a lot of cleaning done, got a good grocery shopping trip in there. I'm feeling optimistic about my new term at school.
That's good.
Trying to roll with the punches the best that I can. It's definitely been a very hard month. It's a really, really difficult month for me emotionally. And it's also, so we're in April now, but the end of March is the anniversary of my mother's death, and that time is always hard for me, as much as I don't want it to be. I don't want it to be. I want to be able to logically say it's just another day, but there's something, and science is starting to be able to like quantify this. with things like the body keeps the score and stuff like that. Like your body does have a memory and a clock, and when the certain time of year rolls around, like you can begin to re-experience that trauma, or it does feel particularly raw around that time or whatever. Like there is science to back that up at this point. And went straight from that kind of feeling into some other personal crises. And it's just been, a turbulent time. And I started feeling disappointed in myself because I knew I was going to fail out of, like fail my classes this term. I knew there was no way that I was gonna be able to make up for the time that I'd lost when I was in the hole. But today I'm feeling like that's okay. It's okay. It's just time. It's gonna pass anyway. Like it's gonna take me one more term now or something, It's not a big deal. And on a different day, it might have felt like a much bigger deal. And I might have felt really, really disappointed in myself and like I can't do anything right. But today I think I kind of see it for what it is, and I'm just kind of rolling with it.
Do you ever project into the future in a positive way to sort of think about how things may be different when you get to a different point?
Yes.
Because I'm thinking when you're done with school, you'll be able to get a better job than you can get now,
Yep.
and that will help a lot.
Yeah. And it'll also be more fulfilling, which is
For
amazing.
sure.
Like I've been looking for a job for a long time, but I also like I'm not gonna just settle for any job because for a multitude of reasons, I'm not going to do anything that's a detriment to my own health. And I've learned enough about myself to know what I'm not good at. And I don't want to commit to something that I know I can't sustain. I can't sustain a retail job. I hate it. If I go to a retail job, maybe I'll like it for even a couple of years, but I'm not going to be able to stay there. I know that I'm not. I know I'm going to want to call out a lot, and like I know who I am. I know myself, and it doesn't make me weak or anything. It makes me pretty strong to be able to identify what my strengths and my weaknesses are, and to be able to say like that's not a thing I can do, rather than just say yes and overextend myself to the point where I just run myself into the ground for someone else. I refuse to do that, and it leaves me in a weird spot because I am struggling and I do need to be working, but I will not do something that's gonna make it harder for me to want to stay alive.
I mean, it's what you do for a third of your life, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or more. So it has an absolute effect. I mean, people like you and I, there are two choices. It's creativity job or helping people job, right? That's basically it. Making someone else rich is not the kind of thing we want to do. You know what I mean?
Not into it, not even a little. Yeah, shit's hard.
It is hard. And this is a podcast that's about entertainment and listening to two people get through their own lives. This is not a advice podcast, and me and
No.
Kate are not professionals. Please do not take any advice from us.
No. This we cannot provide medical advice, financial advice, none of it.
No. Very little, I can tell
Just
you.
two fools in the thick of it,
Wow. Perfect. Two fools. See, now that would be a that should be the name.
fools in the thick of it.
Fools in the thick of it. That is, you're in the thick of it.
Oh man, why am I?
So I wanted to talk about a topic today because it's on my mind. How old you say you were? You're 33?
33, I'm in my Jesus year.
Yes, you're gonna outlive him.
Yes, the goal.
So in 6 months I'll be 40.
It's coming.
Yeah, and I actually, and maybe this could be my positive thing, I actually don't I'm not to say I don't care isn't true. I find it very interesting and I have a lot of thoughts about it, but I don't have any negative feelings about it. I'm not like, oh no, I'm turning 40. But I am kind of like, wow, I'm turning 40. Isn't that weird? And you're thinking about the future and thinking about the past and thinking about how quick things go. I read a book that I got from a library. Actually, I got from the library app, Libby.
Oh, Libby.
It's called Stupid Things I Won't Do When I Get Old. And it's a pretty interesting book. It can be a little bit of a bummer at times, but it's a pretty interesting book. It's by Steven Petrou. And it's just like every chapter is things he says he won't do. And he's a man in his, like, I believe, 60s. But he tells a lot of. Talks a lot about like his parents and his parents dying and getting older and his father had dementia. No, his mother had dementia. It's just it's getting me reflecting on the whole aging thing. I wanted to read you some of the chapter names because every chapter is a thing he will or won't do.
It.
And I want to know what you think about it. Well, do you think about getting old?
So I it is a conscious choice that I think this way. Well, it was a conscious choice to begin thinking this way about aging, and now I just do. Sadly, because of so much trauma in my family and stuff like that, there are so many people in my family who didn't get to age. So I really see it as a gift. I get excited if I find a gray hair or an age spot or a
Interesting.
wrinkle. Like I chose it, but now it kind of does come naturally to me. Like I cherish being able to grow old. Like I want to be super fucking old someday because so many people in my family didn't get to get there. And I think the older I get, the more comfortable I get with myself, the more I like myself, the more I enjoy my own company. The more I won't settle for things that don't serve me. And I like getting older.
Well, give me a number. How long, when would you like to die?
93.
Very nice. Very nice. I'm gonna say 110.
Wow, damn. I don't want to
110.
watch everybody I know die.
I don't mind. Well, I won't cut myself off to making new relationships.
That's true. That's true. You could still be making friends well into your 90s.
All right, so this is some of the things from this book. So one of the things about this book that's interesting is some of the stuff he says, I think is very like, I'm gonna do what I want to do. And then some of the stuff is very much like, I'm not gonna do what I want to do. I'm gonna do what people want me to do, which is, its message is a little bit weird. Like one chapter is, I won't color my hair, which I get that. I used to Why I used to have gray hair. Well, I started going gray when I was like eight. So I always had gray hair. So a few times in my life I dyed it, like in my 20s, and then I started to lose it. So I just shave it, which to me is the most graceful way of dealing with it. But yeah, I definitely had times where I dyed it for to look, black or whatever.
Right, for the sake of covering
Right,
something.
trying to be,
Hair color.
trying to fool the world. Do you, what do you do? Do you dye your hair?
So I used to dye my hair a lot just for the sake of it. I don't have a lot of gray hair. So when I dye my hair, it's not been to cover it. Like I don't have to cover my roots or anything like that. From what I understand genetically, like your hair stuff comes from your paternal grandmother or something like that. Like it's on your paternal side. And my father died with a full head of like brown hair at almost 70 years old. So like I don't know if that is true, if that is what the genetic blueprint is for me, then I'm not really I don't think I'm gonna end up being like having all my hair grow in gray. But not for nothing, I'm kind of looking forward to it if it does. Like I really, like I said, like I truly do embrace whatever evidence of aging happens. Like I think it's really cool. Like I
Yeah.
don't know. I think that's so cool that like if you live for a long time, your hair stops making color. Like that's
Isn't that
so
weird?
cool. Like
Well, I have a gray beard and I like it a lot.
makes you look so wise.
I mean, I like my beard more now than when it was all black. Like my mustache is black and then it fades into gray or white even. And like the soul patch is still kind of dark. It's like I like it's balanced. I enjoy it.
Yeah, I feel that.
But you know, I did have pores recently because I saw that I had a few gray chest hair.
That felt different than
Yeah, it did
your
feel
facial
different
hair.
because that means it'll all eventually be white.
Yeah. And that's like I was reading something about like the science of, why our hair goes gray or white or whatever it does. And it's basically just like the follicle is done producing pigment. Like, and that happens at different times in different people's lives. For some people, it never happens. For some people, it happens younger, whatever. But like, it's done doing that. And it's like, I feel like knowing that too, maybe like, oh, like, all right. Because it's not always a sign of aging necessarily. It's just that something like height is or whatever else. Like, it's just something your body. You're done getting taller or whatever. Like at some point you're done having colored hair.
I remember when I started to turn gray at like 8, going to the doctor and my mother asking about it, and the doctor being like, "I don't know why his hair is turning gray because we don't know why anyone's hair turns gray. Like, there
Yeah.
isn't really an answer for it. It just happened to him younger."
It just does it and it's doing it to him right now.
Right.
My daughter has a couple of like white hairs in her hair. Like when
Yeah.
I'll be going through and like blow drying her hair, she's got a couple of white strands, which I think is pretty cool.
It is cool. How does she feel about
I don't even think she knows they're there,
it? Okay.
be honest.
So another chapter in this book is, "I won't be afraid to fall." And he means that literally.
Right.
Recently, my girlfriend's grandmother fell, broke her hip, was in rehab, now is in, she's back home, but she's walking with a walker, and it just sucks. It sucks to think that's as simple as falling, just falling on your ass from not very far
Yep.
can be hugely disruptive, or in some cases, like the first step in your decline.
Yeah. Once you hit a certain age, like it's almost, people joke about it or whatever, like, oh, it's the hips and the knees and whatever. And it's like you fall, you break one hip, and then you fall, you break the other one, and then you die. Like, and it's, I feel like it's one of those things you have to joke at just because of like how harrowing the reality is, because it's true. At a certain point, like our bones are just not gonna be what they were in our youth, and a fall is gonna be something that brings you to the hospital rather than, sits you on the couch for a few hours. Like, and it ends up being something that has much more lasting effects too. Like, I broke my collarbone when I was 5. I have no lasting effects for that.
No big deal.
I fell and twisted my ankle like last year, and it will never be the same. Like there are certain things that your body just can't recuperate from as quickly anymore. And that's just because you've been doing it. It's because you've been bouncing back from things. It's because you have survived up to this point.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. And also, as you age, your illnesses change. They become different kinds of illnesses than you had when you were younger. And you don't bounce back the way you always do. I mean, in the last couple of years, I had COVID, I had shingles, I had,
An old person's sickness,
I know,
shingles.
right. I know you more and more younger people are getting it, but it's thought of as an older person, like something an older person has.
Yeah. And it just sounds that way. I just will always have that like connotation in my head, I guess.
Right. Yeah, and I had, I don't know what, a viral infection that fucked up my stomach, and then I had to get a colonoscopy. You know, like stuff that, you know, that doesn't happen to you when you're in your 20s.
Right.
You know, and sometimes stuff like that can make you feel old, because you could be like, yeah, I've got great energy, or I have great outlook, but then, you know, you have to put a camera up your butt, and it's like, well,
This is humbling.
yeah, this is not something that I had to do in my
I've never had to
20s.
do this.
Yeah.
This was not part of the routine maintenance
Yeah.
up until now.
Yeah. You know, I did have an old, I guess, experience recently, but it was sort of an out of body experience, because it was randomly very hot last week for a few days.
Yeah, it was.
But it was like in the like and now it's cold again, and it was cold before, so it was kind of like weird. So I was kind of overheated. I run hot because of the medicine I take. So I was like, when I run hot, I go and I s hang out in my car with my air conditioner on, and I read, because I love my car and it's my car. It's something I worked hard to have, and it's nice and
Yeah.
cool in there. So it was like midnight or whatever, which I'm never out at that time anymore.
Right.
And I was like, you know what? Let me get a cold cup of iced coffee. So I went to the Dunkin' Donuts near me, and they were closed. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I was like, okay, well, there's that other Dunkin' Donuts that I used to go to, and I went there, and they were also closed. And I was like, are they not 24 hours anymore? And I had this weird thing where I was like, you know, in the daytime, I see things change around all the neighborhoods in Staten Island. But I guess when I was younger, I wasn't a daytime person. I was a nighttime person.
Right.
And driving around after midnight, it felt like I felt like a stranger in a strange land. I was like, wow. I became so hyper aware of everything being different. And it was, none of the Dunkin' Donuts were open, but there was one Dunkin' Donuts that was open, okay? But its parking lot was filled with cars and people, young people. And not all like one group, like here's a cluster here, here's a cluster there. And it's like, okay, this is a hangout spot,
Right.
which it wasn't for me. And but if I were that age, it probably would be.
For sure.
And then every, and I don't know if this, I don't know what this says about what, but every drive-through for like fast food, Wendy's, McDonald's, White Castle, they were all lines like wrapping outside. And this was just a Wednesday night. I do think that it's like spring break, but is it because weed is legal now? Like,
I'm sure that's helping things.
there was always, you know, drive-through, late night drive-through fast food, but that there are lines, or maybe the population of where we live is bursting in a way that I wasn't aware of until now.
Right.
I was just like, is there something special going? I found myself really feeling old, because I was like, what's going on? Like, why?
The outside of that all of these people know?
Right. It was very, very, it was a very weird experience.
Well, you're right, it was spring break. I would imagine, just based upon my own youth, that I was probably just kids stoned and getting food.
We're talking about a lot of cars, man. Like, so
Yeah.
many. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, you're all supposed to pile in one car.
Yeah, I
Those are
it,
your
it
sleeping
was,
guys.
I couldn't believe it. I can't. The fucking McDonald's near me is like, it's got the Sonic thing now where there's like five different lanes.
Right.
It still, it was like insane. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Okay, one more from here that I'm interested in getting your take on.
Yes.
It is, I won't limit myself to friends my own age.
Oh, I love that.
What do you think about that?
I think that's really, really important. I remember reading something saying that you should have two mentors in your life,
Yeah.
one 10 years older than you and one 10 years younger.
A 10-year younger mentor?
Yep. And I thought that phrasing was really interesting too.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I love that. I think you should have friends that span different ages and stuff. And like, that's, not to say that you should ever put yourself in any sort of precarious situation where you are being taken advantage of or where you take advantage of anyone else, but having healthy relationships with people that are like of a different age group, I think is incredibly important.
But both ways too, older and younger.
Yes, absolutely. It ended up not being we're not friends anymore, this person and I, but like I had a friend who was about a decade younger than I am, and I did learn a lot from her, like a lot. And some of it was like, hard lessons and whatever, but I think it's important to be in touch with other age groups. I also think I'm kind of predisposed to that because I grew up in a house where my siblings were a decade older than I was, and I
Okay.
always wanted to hang out with them and their friends and stuff. And I mean, to this day, they're my best friends. We share friend groups and stuff like that. Like, yeah, there are certainly, friends that are quote unquote more their friends than mine, but that gap kind of closes
Yeah.
once you get to a certain emotional maturity level, I guess I'll say. You're able to conduct healthy relationships with people of varying ages because you can keep boundaries where you need to and stuff. Like what I learned, one of the lessons that I learned with this friendship with this much younger person, was like the importance of having healthy boundaries when someone doesn't have their shit together and
Right,
it's
right, right, right.
and whatever, and how you can love and support someone from a distance because it's not, safe to have them,
Right.
be too close in your life.
Right. I think there's a healthy way to do it and an unhealthy way. Like an unhealthy way would be to throw yourself into, like maybe like to throw yourself into like a younger group and try to act like them and be like them. Because that means you're also giving them nothing. Like you should be getting stuff from each other.
Right. You need to offer your unique
And
perspective
still
as well.
do
Like, that's
you.
what you've got.
And don't be embarrassed to do you. Recently, like my girlfriend Jen, her previous job, a lot of the people she worked with were younger than her. And Jen's a little bit younger than me. So some of these kids are like way younger than me. I mean, like, I want to say half my age, but not really. Like, they're in their 20s and I'm almost 40.
Right.
So recently there was a birthday and there was a dinner and we went out to dinner with all them and it's lovely and I like to hear about their shit, you know what I mean? And whatever, it was a fun time. But then after they were like, okay, now we're going to a bar. And me and Jen didn't. And I said, "Hey, listen, I'm sorry I'm not going to the bar, but I don't want to."
I'd really just rather not.
Right. And I was not going to pretend like I didn't have, I wasn't going to go and be tired. And I
Yeah.
also wasn't going to pretend like I've got to do something tomorrow. I was like, I don't want to. I wish I wanted to.
I don't
I
want to do
don't want
this.
to.
I have no desire to go do
And
this. I've had
maybe
a
this is
great
good
time
for
with
both of
you.
us. Maybe it's
Right.
good for both of us. Like maybe when they get to the bar, they're like, oh, it's good to see Mike and Jen, but I'm glad we're done with that part of the night. Now we're going to be stupid. Let's do stupid
Right.
things.
Right.
You know
It's
what I mean?
true. It's true. And I think it's important to have both of those kind of relationships, like relationships. I feel like there's different ways of wanting to quote unquote impress people younger than you or impress people older than you. And it's maybe if you simply boil it down, it's like wanting to elevate yourself to some sort of level for, the older crowd and wanting to kind of like make yourself seem cooler for the younger
Yeah.
crowd or whatever. I
Right.
think both of those like feelings are important to acknowledge. And I think that being able to be aware of those feelings and then not do it and just be able to kind of observe from like,
Right.
I think is really, really cool and kind of necessary. I think it's
For
really
sure.
important to maintain connections outside of your own age group. You don't need to I believe in cutting off people who are toxic to your peace, but
Sure,
I
yeah.
don't believe in creating an echo chamber.
For
You're
sure,
left
yeah.
just surrounded by people exactly like you who tell you everything you want to hear. Who, like,
Right. I like
might
looking.
think that would be fulfilling, but it won't be.
Right.
Like, you should be challenged to grow and to think about things from different angles. Like, that's important.
Right. And I think you can get along with younger people if you're just like, if you don't come with a weird attitude toward them.
Yeah.
Like you know, like and I like I'm genuinely interested in like what are the things that you like or what you know what I mean? Like I kind of come like almost like an anthropologist. Not to make them feel weird, but to be like, I don't know what you're into,
Tell me
but I'm
all about
interested, but I'm interested and you
right.
know. All right, so here's my question for this episode.
Shoot.
It's a two-parter. You can answer it either way.
Okay.
If you can go back to a certain age and redo it, what age? Or if you could skip ahead to an age, what age would it be and why?
The only thing that I can think of, and it's hard because I don't know that I would want to go back knowing this, but I would like to spend more time with my mother and get like some information that I needed and like some life lessons and stuff. So like
Yeah.
going back to like 21 and like just making sure that I soak in every second that I can and getting all of that would probably be the only thing to tempt me. You know, like that would probably be the only thing that would make me want to go back and relive a year. Otherwise, like I don't know if it's I don't know if it's if I can attribute it to some kind of inner peace. I don't know if I can, you know, speak that highly of it, or if it's just, I don't know. I don't think I would change anything. And of course, like there are moments in which I'm like, man, I wish I would have done X, Y, or Z. You know, I wish I would have stayed in school. I wish I would have been in a better position before I had children. I like all of these things, but like, do I really? No. I'm like this, it turned out how it turned out. You know, like it turned out how it did. And I've gotten some really great lessons from it and some really great memories and all this stuff. And yeah, there's been pain and whatever, but pain's unavoidable. You know, so I think that's probably my best answer is that I would just want to get those things that I didn't get. I'd want to go back to 21 and just be like, okay, all those things you need to learn about being a grown up, all the stories that you want to know that you've never asked about and whatever, like get that. I don't think I'd want to go anywhere into the future. It makes me nervous.
I
Makes me very nervous.
get that.
I think about like the thought of popping in on myself anywhere in the future is just like, oh no.
Could you imagine you're like living in a tree house and there's just nomads everywhere and it's just Mad Max and people are fighting over gasoline and
God. So I'm Tank Girl.
yes.
I don't
I
hate
would
it.
go back exactly 10 years because I'm about to turn 40 and I'm totally chill with it. But when I went from 29 to 30, I lost my mind.
Really?
And yeah, I went on an extreme harmful diet and lost an absurd amount of weight because I wanted like the most I've ever in my life. And it was all fear-based. Like that's how I was able to do it. I was like, oh my God, I'm turning 30. I have to become lithe thin. And I started acting
Ages you.
reckless. I wouldn't want to on you know, I do like the lessons that I learned, like you said, but I would want to not hurt other people that I hurt.
Right.
I would want to be less reckless and be like, okay, I know that I'm going through a thing now that I'm turned 30, but I need to
Yeah.
like be responsible and not hurt other people and not let my shit bleed onto other people.
Yeah. Yeah, there are certainly instances like that that I wish I could go back and alter. You know, like instances where my shit spilled out on other people. Where my goo got on other people. But I don't think there was a certain year where that was particularly concentrated for me. I think, that just kind of spread itself out over time. Yeah, I feel like that's been a big thing for me lately. The recognition of that, those lessons that we unfortunately learn when we hurt other people. And how difficult and loaded and painful that is, and shameful, and oh, everything. There's really important and heavy lessons in the way that you hurt other people, and that's the shit that people do not want to acknowledge. That's the shit that people bury, bury, bury. That's the shadow. That's all of that shit that nobody wants to deal with that ends up manifesting in all the fucking worst ways. But like I that's where the meat of like doing the work, quote unquote, is in like what how have I hurt other people? What makes me feel shame? Like I think that's where like the really, really, really big lessons are, and that's why it's the hardest thing to admit. It's really hard to be accountable for the way you hurt other people.
I recently saw the new Dungeons and Dragons movie. I actually saw it twice because I loved it.
Great.
And their little group, there's like a wizard, but he's not a great wizard. And then like a plan maker, but he's not that smart. And then just they all kind of suck. And there's a part in the middle where, of course, they're fighting because it's a movie where there's a team, so they have to fight in the middle. And they're like, "Aren't you sick of failing?" And the lead character's like, "That's what we do. We fail and we fail, and we can't stop failing because then we'll fail.
Right. I love
We just
that.
keep failing."
I'm like, I don't play D&D. I've always wanted to, but I've also been like always like super intimidated by it
Me
and
too. I never have
never.
either.
And like I've always wanted somebody to just hold my hand through it and like help me, but it's just they've never presented themselves. But like from what I understand, like that's exactly it with that, and it is a really fucking perfect metaphor for life. Like that, yeah, you are gonna keep fucking failing. And sometimes you're gonna win, and then you're gonna keep going until you fail again. And like, and that's just what it is. Like, that's how it's gonna be. It's not because you're bad, it's not because you're doing it wrong. It's because that's the fucking way life goes. Shit. I wish I could remember what it was. But there was something that I watched recently, I believe, where they were talking about like how basically like you don't win. Nobody wins life. Like we all just get to the end. Like and like we don't get to like some shared end unless, if that's your belief
That's
and
your belief.
whatever. But like literally we just you don't win. Like at the end we all die. Like that's what happens for everyone at the end.
You just stumble through.
You're just fucking walking around like a baby giraffe.
You're just Dick
Everyone's
Van
on the
Dyke
fucking
going over
floor,
the
and then you
ottoman.
die. Exactly. And then just one day you're gonna just be done. One day your battery is just gonna be like, all right, we did it. We did what we can do. That's the amount of power we have. That's all, folks.
Yeah, just keep failing.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, like I started a new job about 6 months ago and I'm still not great at it. And people at work will be like, "Well, you can't be great at it. Like, how could you be great at it?" But I'm
And
like, I want to be." And it's like, "Well, you're not gonna be."
especially if, like you're saying, it's ever changing. There's going to be a new problem that presents itself all the time. The only way to be great is to be persistent. I shared something today on my Facebook that just made me think of, and I will share it with you now. It's a tweet. The author is at Josh Mallerman, and it says, "The older I get, the more I think the only barometer for intelligence is how kind you are." because it's not easy to do. And we all have stresses and goals and failures and frustrations. So if you can navigate a path in your head to remain mindful, kind to others through years of hardship and loss and the like, that's genius to me.
Yeah.
And I completely agree with that. Like that's strength, that's intelligence, that's if you can be aware and like just navigate through pain and things that you can control, things that you can't control, and you can just make your way through that and remain kind and graceful. Like, I think you did it. I think you won.
Well, it's like there's that British mathematician philosopher Bertrand Russell. He said, "Love is wise, hatred is foolish."
Yeah, it's true. It's so much easier to hate.
Yeah.
It's really easy to hate what you don't understand or what you don't agree with. And it's a lot harder to still be able to give love to an individual or to a group or whatever that believes something that you don't, rather than just blanket that in hate.
Yes.
It takes a fucking lot.
All right. Do you have a question for me?
I do. My question is much less serious, but it could be serious, I guess, depending on the circumstances. So, if you could perfect one skill before the apocalypse,
Oh, sure.
what is the skill that you would like to have perfected?
So I've got a month to learn a skill is the idea.
Yeah. Right.
Before the apocalypse.
And like we don't know what brand it is. It could be zombie, it could be not
I guess if an
just
apocalypse is coming, I'd want to learn how to like build shit. Like
okay.
how to build a heater.
So like engineering. Okay. I can dig
Something
it.
that'll be useful during.
Yeah, I can dig it. My answer to that question is parkour.
I mean, that would come out. That would be really useful.
Right? I can get in and out of places super quick. I can go on supply runs.
Yeah, that's awesome. Very good.
So what's good? What's good?
Did I talk about my dog on the last episode?
Little bit.
I have a new dog.
New guy.
A little girl. Her name is Peach. And now that Jack Black song, Peaches for Mario, is all over the interwebs, so it's fun
Yeah.
to sing that to her.
That's so cute. I haven't heard it yet. I'm actually going to see the movie on Thursday, and I'm trying to avoid absolutely everything before that.
Well, I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you. I'm going with my daughter's class on a class trip. I'm so excited.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, she's a Cavapoo. That's part poodle, part Cavalier King Charles.
Yeah.
She's very, very cute. She's a leggy blonde. She's very smart. She's got long back legs. She does this thing where when she sleeps, she cuddles her own back legs. Like she holds her back legs with her front legs and folds
Oh,
herself.
baby.
She's just wonderful.
Precious little bean.
So that's what's good. That's what's
That
good.
is what's good. That's what's really good.
Did you say what's good before? Or do you or
I don't think I did.
Okay, what's good?
Now I'm drawing a blank.
Oh, okay.
What's good? Oh, so. This is the thing. So I feel like last year was about embracing my identity as an artist
Sure.
and
Okay.
acknowledging that I'm an artist and like I don't have to make a certain amount of money on art or whatever to be an artist. I am an artist because of the way I view the world and the things I create and blah 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 blah. And over the last couple of a few months, I would say I have been embracing my identity as a musician. And
Okay.
that's really cool. I've been consistently playing an instrument for the longest I ever have in my life. I've been singing more confidently. And that's a big thing for me for a host of reasons. But one of them is that my voice has changed a lot as I've gotten older. And that's because of a variety of things. just aging, the fact that I smoke, all the things that, affect this. And I can remember as like a teenager and maybe even younger, talking to my mom about the fact that she used to sing when she was younger, and then her voice started to change because of life, and she stopped. And so a thing that I try to do and embrace or whatever is to just keep going. And if I can't sing it the way I used to or whatever, figure out a way that works. Figure out a way that I can sing it, because now my voice is different. So I can't do what I used to, but now I can do this. The same way, I recall saying on here at one point how my doctor referred to the fact that I can't sit down and read a book as easily anymore as like an effect of PTSD. Like, PTSD is brain damage. Your brain changes and it won't be able to do certain things anymore. You break your leg and it heals back a little bit differently. You can't run the same way you did, whatever. And I kind of see it like that. Like, I can't sing the same way that I used to. This doesn't mean I can't figure out a way that works for me.
Well, you but besides singing, you also like play things.
I play ukulele.
I mean, yeah. So your music is not entirely related to your singing.
Yeah, for sure. But I definitely think like singing and like vocalizing is an important aspect of musical expression for me. Like, I don't know that I would be content, like if I were in a band, like I don't know that I could be just like the person who just plays an instrument. Like, I would have to also sing.
I feel you.
I'm an artist, I'm a musician.
You're a podcaster. You've been a podcaster for
Podcaster.
almost 3 years.
Can you believe it?
Our first episode was November 2nd, 2020.
No.
Crazy.
Damn. Damn. Proud of us. Look at us go.
I know. Look at us. Look at us, huh? Who would have
Us.
guessed?
Who would have thought?
Do you have any recommendation for our listeners?
Yeah, I do.
Go fuck yourself. Good night.
Fuck yourselves.
And then there's no more episodes.
That's it. No, my recommendation is to go out in public and put on a song that you really like, whether it's in your headphones or in your car or whatever, and like unabashedly jam the fuck out and make somebody else's day.
That's fucking awesome. I like that you've begun taking your recommendation out the realm of like a book or
Yeah.
something to watch and just recommending people do things.
Yeah, no, go do things. It's a challenge. I have a challenge for you.
That's lovely. I love it. Well, in the spirit of thinking about age and thinking about being friends with people of different ages, I read "Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret" by Judy Blume.
Oh, delightful.
And I read it because there's a movie coming out that looks really good. And we were in Barnes and Noble, and Jen was like, "Hey, this is pretty cheap. Like, do you want to both read it?" And I was like, "Yeah, I want to read a classic fucking YA novel." And I'm a fucking 39-year-old man reading about a girl wanting to get her period,
Yeah.
but I loved it.
It's like definitive coming of age novel.
Yeah, it's pretty
It's so
great.
good. It's so good. Now I want to read it again. I haven't read it probably since like
It's
when
quick.
it's
It's
very
little.
relevant to me. Yeah, that's a good one.
Go ahead and read it. Doesn't matter what age you are. Go ahead and read it.
Does not matter your age, your gender. It is a beautiful and relatable story.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
And you know what? As far as I know, Judy Blume, not a fucking transphobe.
Word, as far as I know.
I
You guys
think there was like.
are gonna have to look into that.
No, well, I think there was like one tweet where like it seemed like she was defending JK and then someone asked her
Think.
about it and she was like, "No, I'm not. I'm against transphobia, blah blah
All right,
blah."
well, if she blatantly said it, then we stand.
Fuck JK Rowling. All right. So this has been Cuckoo
Is it?
Bananas. We come to you on the last Monday of every month.
Yeah, we do.
What? Yeah, the last Monday of every month. It sounded like I said it wrong, but I didn't.
You didn't. It was right.
And that's when
Yeah.
That's when you get us.
That's soak it up,
5 a.m. I don't know why I arbitrarily pick 5 a.m. It could be any time. It could be midnight, but I
I'm not as
always.
ready when I wake up. I'll say that.
That's why I want it to be ready.
Yeah, I'm glad it's ready. Set it with the coffee pot, you know? Get it all synced. Ready to
Nice,
go.
nice little cozy podcast for you.
Settle in.
All right. Well, good night, Kate.
Good night.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you. Love you.
Do 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 do